Good morning. My name is Lacey Kovar, and I'm an epidemiologist at the Oklahoma State Department of Health. And my presentation today is about an outbreak of Salmonella paratyphi B among elementary school students and the use of electronic meal tickets to identify discordant results between interview responses and e-ticket records to verify school food histories among students. I have no personal financial relationships to disclose. So the objectives of this presentation are to describe a school-based foodborne Salmonella outbreak investigation in Oklahoma during September of 2010 among elementary school students, describe the use of electronic meal tickets and its utility as a resource in identifying discordant results among interview responses regarding school lunch consumptions, and to summarize the discordant results identified between interviews and electronic meal ticket records. So to provide a little background, as I'm sure you know, Salmonella is a bacterial pathogen that causes gastroenteritis. Approximately 40,000 culture-confirmed cases of Salmonella are reported in the United States each year. Salmonella is one of the top five food-related causes of illness, hospitalizations, or deaths each year. The average incidence rate per 100,000 persons from 2005 to 2009 for the U.S. was 16.0, and for Oklahoma, it was 27.1. Oklahoma had 664 reported cases of Salmonella per year from 2005 to 2009. In 2010, 752 cases of Salmonella were reported in Oklahoma, resulting in an incidence rate of 20.4 per 100,000 persons. The ages of cases ranged from 1 day to 96 years, with a median age of 26 years. 170 cases were hospitalized due to Salmonella. The case fatality rate was 0.5%. Oklahoma administrative law requires cases of Salmonella be reported to the acute disease service, where information is collected and analyzed on an ongoing basis to detect any unusual disease patterns. Laboratories are also required to submit the isolates of Salmonella to the public health laboratory for routine serotyping and PFGE typing. Public health microbiologists and the acute disease service epidemiologists use serotype and PFGE subtyping to look for any unusual increases of clusters of Salmonella within Oklahoma. During September 2010, the Oklahoma State Department of Health identified a cluster of Salmonella cases among elementary school-age students in a central Oklahoma community. Public health laboratory serotyping and pulse field gel electrophoresis testing revealed all cases were due to Salmonella paratyphi B variant L tartrate positive with an indistinguishable PFGE pattern. An outbreak investigation and case control study was initiated to determine the magnitude of the outbreak, identify the source and the mode of transmission, and to institute control measures. We conducted a case control study among elementary school students to determine whether illness was associated with any specific exposure, such as consumption of specific foods or affiliation with clubs, teams, or other activities. A confirmed case was defined as an elementary school student with laboratory-confirmed Salmonella paratyphi B variant L tartrate positive with outbreak-associated PFGE pattern and symptom onset date from August 31st through September 13th, 2010. A probable case was defined as an elementary school student with 3 or more days of diarrhea or bloody diarrhea with onset of symptoms occurring between August 31st and September 13th. School officials provided the acute disease service with rosters and parent contact information for all classrooms that included a case. The rosters were used to randomly select controls from the classrooms. Once the controls were selected, the acute disease service attempted to call the parent or guardian and request an interview with their child for the investigation. The parent or guardian was also requested to be present during the investigation. The school's automated telephone system was utilized to notify parents the Oklahoma State Department of Health Acute Disease Service was conducting an investigation and also to encourage parents to participate in the investigation if they were contacted. So a standard survey was used for interviews to collect demographic information, clinical history, and exposures, including foods consumed, after-school activities, classroom pets, and affiliation with school or other community programs. Cases were interviewed regarding the 5 days prior to diarrhea onset, while exposures were collected from classroom controls for the same 5 day period as their classroom, or as the case classmates. The acute disease service personnel conducted in-person interviews with parents and children at the elementary school or by telephone. During the investigation, the outbreak team identified the school dietary program used an electronic meal ticket system to document when a student purchased any meal served by the school cafeteria. This is considered to be an electronic meal ticket record or an e-ticket. And the e-ticket documented if the student purchased a breakfast meal, a lunch meal, or just milk. Since the investigation team had completed most of the interviews when this was identified, e-ticket records were then used to identify discrepancies in student responses regarding consumption of school lunch meals compared to e-ticket documentation. The outbreak investigation team also obtained attendance records from the school to identify any discrepancies in student responses regarding attendance or absences from the school and documentation and attendance records. If a discrepancy was identified using these records, then the individual was contacted and re-interviewed. So 68 elementary school students were interviewed for the case control study. We had 14 cases and 54 controls. Of the 14 cases, 9 were laboratory confirmed and 5 were classified as probable cases. The age ranged from 6 to 11 years with a median of 8 years. There were 7 males and 7 females. Cases occurred in 3 locations of the affected school system. There were 4 cases in the first grade, 3 in the second, 5 in the fourth, and 2 cases in fifth grade. Cases reported symptom onset dates ranging from September 5th through the 13th. So this is the epidemic curve, and it illustrates the number of confirmed cases and probable cases by date of diarrhea onset. As you can see, most of the cases developed symptoms from 9-5 through 9-7. The cases with onset dates on 9-9, 9-11, and 9-13 were not in the same classroom as the other cases and did not identify other cases as contacts. So these individuals were not considered to be secondary cases. So there was a total of 513 responses to the cafeteria meal questions. A 10% discordance was identified between e-ticket meals and responses on whether or not a child purchased a cafeteria meal. Of the 52 discordant responses, 54% indicated the child ate a specific school meal, although records showed the child did not purchase that meal. Also, of the 52 discordant responses, 46% indicated the child did not purchase the meal, although records showed the child did. So when looking at discordance by child, e-ticket records revealed 47% of the children provided at least one incorrect responses. The number of incorrect responses for the 32 children ranged from 1 to 4 per child. So we did have a few repeat offenders. All right, this table shows the frequency of the discordant interview responses compared to the e-ticket among cases and controls. So if you look at the first row, this shows the percentage of cases who responded they consumed the meal when the e-ticket indicated they did not. So 8% of the cases and 3% of controls provided a discordant response when asked about consumption of the cafeteria breakfast. 14% of cases and 5% of controls provided a discordant response when asked about consumption of the cafeteria lunch. The second row shows the percentage of cases who responded they did not consume the meal when the e-ticket indicated that they did consume a meal. So 2% of controls provided discordant responses when asked about consumption of the cafeteria breakfast, and 8% of cases and 8% of controls provided discordant response when asked about the consumption of the cafeteria lunch. All right, so analysis of our exposures revealed the only setting or activity that was common to all cases was attending the same school system. No other common settings or activities were identified among cases. All 14 cases reported consuming food items served for lunch by the elementary school food program during the 5 days prior to diarrhea onset, compared to 45 of 54 controls. The analysis of interview responses before e-ticket evaluation revealed canned peaches was statistically significant once the variables were collapsed. So canned peaches were served on September 3rd and September the 7th. But afterwards, the results showed that they were no longer statistically significant. And this, after comparison of interview responses with e-tickets, the most common school lunch reported by the cases was on September 2nd, 2010. And all of the cases interviewed reported consuming school lunch on this day, compared with 30 of the 47 controls. So this is just showing you a comparison of the odds ratio before e-ticket evaluations and after e-ticket evaluations. And you can see neither one shows a statistically significant result, but it's elevated for lettuce and watermelon. The odds ratio is after e-ticket evaluation. So in conclusion, the epidemiologic data from this outbreak investigation suggested salmonella cases that occurred among elementary school children were likely associated with consumption of a contaminated food item that was recently received by the elementary school lunch program and served to the students. This is supported by the results that the only setting or activity common to all the cases was attending the same school system. However, results from the outbreak investigation did not definitively identify a common source of exposure among these cases. But the e-ticket records were a useful tool to validate the food histories from the school-aged children. The absentee records were also useful in assisting respondents with recall of their child's attendance history. And if available, these resources should be obtained early in the school-based outbreak investigation and used to identify incorrect responses. In addition, these resources may be helpful in limiting recall bias, especially if an extended period of time has elapsed between exposure and interview. And we would just like to thank the Canadian County Health Department and the Public Health Laboratory at the State Health Department. That's it.
Are there any questions? We'll take one or two questions now and later on as well. Yes, ma'am.
Well, also, it just happens that at this school, these schools are pretty small, and so the cafeteria workers also know each one of the students that come by. So we also ask that as well, and they know every one of the students, so they can actually document as well in the program that the student actually purchased a meal. Now, we did have some individuals that we contacted, and it showed that they did not purchase a meal. So we were trying to, you know, just talk to them about it, and the parent was adamant, no, I know we were there. I ate with my child that day, you know. So it's helpful. It helps them remember. Especially we had some where they said their child was not at school that day. They were absent, yet the absence records did not show they were absent, and it showed they also purchased a meal. So it also helped, you know, refresh their memory, you know, hey, just so you know, this is what it shows. Are you sure your child was absent that day? So, I mean, it's useful in those instances. So, any other questions? Yes. And, you know, that would be a good thing to look at, is based on the age group. That would be a good thing, because I haven't looked at that yet, so thank you.